I want to welcome you all to the kickoff of Speak Up, Raising the Voices of Women. I have to tell you, this came up because when our District 46 conference was on and we had these contests, there were 7 men and 1 woman, and that woman we're lucky enough to have with us tonight was Penelope Baum. What I was most surprised about was that the men were loud, they were big, they had large, huge gestures. Chairs were being tossed down for a catamaran that had fallen over. And all of that was great. But I wondered, what are we missing? What is that one or two secret elements that we don't have showing as women to get us to into more competitions and ultimately compete on the main stage? Now, while we are seeing more women enter the accredited speaker program and be able to do a little bit more with that, my goal then was to set out and try to set this path of 5 months working together to encourage women to speak up and to raise their voices. One of the other interesting things to me was that we know that when we use our voices loud or very demonstrative, that sometimes we can be called not such a nice word. And I wanted to be able to help to coach women and work with women in these calls over the next few months to really find the correct tone. So sometimes during these sessions, when the men come on the phone, we may just ask them after someone does a speech, what did you think of that tone? What could be different? How did that fall on your ears? Well, with me tonight, kicking off our first Zoom session of 5, our module 1, are Lisa Panarello and Carol Ward. Let me tell you a little bit about them. Carol Ward is a psychotherapist, confidence expert and coach, award-winning speaker and television commentator. She helps individuals, business owners, and executives develop the confidence they need to create the professional success they want. Lisa Panarello has been featured on the CBS Early Show and ranked as top 9 finalist in Toastmasters World Champion of Public Speaking. As an empowerment coach and communication trainer, she's helped thousands of individuals turn frustrating career and business situations into exciting, lucrative journeys. Would you please welcome, in Toastmaster fashion, Lisa Panarello and Carol Ward. Thank you, ladies, both of you, for being with me tonight. I so deeply appreciate it, and thanks for believing in this. Speak Up, Raising the Voices of Women. Lisa, in our pre-interview, when we were going through some of the things, one of the things that you talked about was the bigger question is, why are you in Toastmasters? So if you could take a moment, just share that for me, that would be terrific.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you, Rochelle, for having me part of this mission, and hello, everyone on the call. Just like everyone on this call and everyone on the planet, I would say time is precious. And I think purpose and intent should be behind everything that we do. Who has time to just go out and just, granted, we want to have fun, but I think purpose really does make a factor in what we do in life. So when it comes to Toastmasters, I often ask members, why did you join? Why are you here? What are you looking to get out of it? And granted, that's a little bit of the icebreaker speech. I often find that there's a disconnect between what they want to get out of it and then how they actually use their time in Toastmasters. So I usually like to suggest, recommend, strongly urge that they leverage Toastmasters, the time that you're there in a meeting. I'm not just talking about the contest, the journey to the contest, just in a meeting. You're going to spend 5 minutes giving a speech, an hour at a meeting. What's your purpose? What's your message? What are you looking to gain from that time? So that's just from a perspective of what are you going to do with your time? I think everyone should seek out what's their purpose. Are you there to join the culture, share some camaraderie, or do you really want to improve your public speaking skills, your communication skills? And if that's the case, how high do you want to get? How good do you want to get? And how are you going to apply those skills in what situations? If you think about where and how you want to apply better communication skills, then you have a better reason for using your time at Toastmasters.
Carol, your perspective on that?
Well, I was thinking, why did I join Toastmasters? And you know that phrase, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And when I started to get into the idea of public speaking, all of a sudden, Toastmasters started to cross my path. I met Toastmasters, people started talking about it. And so when I joined the group, it was strictly to be about to learn how to become a better speaker. I had no idea how wonderful the community is, and everyone who's a Toastmaster knows that. That's the hidden secret of Toastmasters, is the community of people that you meet and who support you. And I think that if you have that kind of energy around you and behind you, maybe the original reason you went into Toastmasters isn't the same reason you find as you're farther down the path. I think you start to discover what you want to say and how you want to say it and how important it is when you get into Toastmasters.
Fantastic. Well, I'd like to invite, I just would like to welcome Stella, who just joined us from New Jersey. Hi, Stella. One of the things, Lisa and both Carol, that you had also spoken about was when we leverage Toastmasters, so whether you're here tonight to get on the main stage and compete, or whether it's just about getting a job, Lisa had talked about, or negotiating for a raise or some of those things. Lisa, could you speak to, so for any women on the call who may not be wanting to go forward, this really includes, though, raising voices in other places as well.
Sure. I think Toastmasters is a great practice ground for the real life conversations that we're going to have during our work day, during our family day, during our business day. So I think if you have to give a speech, obviously we're allowed to choose whatever topic we want. Isn't that the beauty of it? You can talk about that favorite ice cream flavor or that trip that you took to the Bahamas or a crazy day you had with your children. Yet, why not consider the next conversation that you might have at work or in business or with your significant other and make your speech around that topic so that when you leave, you'd have some experience in working out a situation, you'll get feedback of whether you are too loud, too soft, too timid, whether you made no eye contact, all the physical components that goes into effective communication. If you combine that with a topic that's relevant that you'll use tomorrow, wouldn't that be of such a useful use, great use of your time? So if you've got an interview coming up, why not practice that tell me about yourself question? If you're going in for a business loan, why don't you practice getting out the jitters in having to sell your background to and your ability to manage finances to the bank? If you're going to have a difficult conversation with your child about substance abuse, why not play it out in a very, like you're saying, Carol, a very friendly and warm environment that you can share your feelings without worrying about being judged, mm-hmm. and work out some of the kinks in our communication. So really, that's my connection with purpose, time, outcome.
And Carol, any other thoughts you want to add to that one with regards to, you know, using it beyond the stage?
Well, you know, I really believe that when women find their voices, I'm just going to focus specifically on women because I coach a lot of women executives and women business owners. And a couple of the things they say is, how do I insert myself into conversations? How do I insert myself into conversations that are happening at meetings where I'm the only woman and it's a free-for-all of a different kind of energy? And I think that knowing how to speak, knowing how to hold yourself physically is going to help you get your voice heard in the world. From the moment you walk in the room to how you sit, how you stand, how you walk through hallways, how you order your coffee, all of that makes an impression. And if you can back it up then with speaking skills, you are a powerful, powerful force to be reckoned with.
So speaking of powerful force to reckon with, I talked to a client today who I probably will have on in one of the later, another session that we do. But basically what she said, and this has to do with about speaking up and why I was so passionate about putting this project together. She said, and maybe some of you have heard this, she said a woman will look at a list, 10 things to do for a job interview, that you need the skills for a job interview. And she'll say 8, 9, and 10, I don't know what how to do, so she won't apply. The gentleman will look at the list of 8 to 10 and only know how to do one of them and apply for the job. I thought that was just fascinating in terms of how are we bringing ourselves forward and how much does that tie in to what we, to what we're trying to accomplish here tonight. The reason I invited Carol and Lisa on was because in 2010 was the year in Palm Desert, California, which was a hot vacuum environment. was the year that all three of us were there together. I was there for my accredited speaker, and Lisa and Carol were there competing. So, Carol, could you share with us maybe one of your most challenging moments during the competition?
I have to say, actually, there were two challenging moments. One was 3 days before I was to travel and fly to California. I was on the New Jersey Turnpike, and I was rear-ended by a car and got a small tad of whiplash. But I have to tell you, I was determined to get on that plane, and so I got a whole bunch of treatments, body treatments, and then I went out. I think the biggest challenge for me was when, for the semi-finalist round, they allow you to go and practice, and they had us practice on one stage. And then we found out the next day, I think it was, that instead of that smaller stage, we were now going to be having our semifinal round on the main stage, which was really long. So I had been practicing, and my timing was a little bit tight to begin with, and all of a sudden, the challenge was I was going to have to make it from one side of the stage to the other side of the stage, and a much longer path to travel. So that was the biggest challenge of getting that timing down.
Lisa, what would you say your greatest challenge was during that speech?
Carol, I feel for you. I've often been in situations where I'm asked to speak at a certain venue and I'm told it's going to be huge. Then I go there and it's a postage stamp, or in this case, vice versa. So that adjustment is something that we learn as we go. I'd have to say I have two particular challenges. One was an ongoing challenge of the journey is speaking less, because we had a 7-minute time frame. And when I had a story that I wanted to share that I thought could change a lot of lives, I want to crush that in to 6.31 seconds max, it was challenging. So it's cut. But I felt that was a huge learning experience to me that I applied. I had over and over and over again, that whole less is more mentality. They say if you can't say what you have to say in 10 words or two lines, then it's not worth speaking. So that exercise, while challenging, was certainly to other writing and speaking since. The second challenge was getting feedback that didn't jive with what I thought was working for my speech. And it was, you should cut this, you should be more emotional here, take that emotion out. So hearing feedback from all different angles and finally having to say, which I received, two other people had given me some feedback and say, listen, at some point you have to go with your gut. So I stopped rearranging my speech, went to and said, no, I like it the way it is. It means something for me. So that was a good exercise as well, but challenging.
Oh, so that's my favorite. Let's talk about the gut. I mean, this, Carol, I know this is your wheelhouse. Let's talk a little bit about those things that really, to me, are unique to us as women, that we have that gut sense. We know how it works. We know exactly, but we're not always listening to it. Mm-hmm.
I have to add on to what Lisa said about the timing and fitting it in and talk about gut. In my gut, I felt I am really close as far as timing. And so then when I got on the bigger stage, it got tighter and tighter. And when I finished my speech at the end of the semifinal contest, one of the judges came up to me and he said, I want to let you know, you ended at 7 minutes and 30 seconds. And if you see the videotape, I think he might have said while they were right after, if you see the videotape of them announcing the winners in the semifinal, and they said nobody went over time, you actually see me have a reaction like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. So my gut was telling me I needed to trim, but like Lisa, I was like, I wanna say what I wanna say. Right. So I think you have to trust that you wanna hold to the message that you wanna hold to, and yes, you get a lot of feedback, but you also want to trust if there's a little warning bell going off that's saying, in my case, you're walking this line here, you need to pay attention, and to take a couple moments and sit back and figure it out.
That is our asset, right? As women, we have a unique sense of intuition that is different than men. So I think we have to embrace that, utilize it. And your whole point of this whole program that you're running, Rochelle, is about how women get to a point in their career, their life, in their speaking that allows them to, and it's not about competing, but being on a level playing field. It's not about shooting the men down. It's not about surpassing them. It is about getting to where you want in your world, earning that respect. And I think we have to, as women, learn to tap into our skill sets, recognize them. I don't know if it's the 30-year-ago mentality of the housewives, and we've certainly come far from that. We're out in the workforce, and yet we're still timid about what we bring to the table. So there's got to be a fundamental shift in our brain power and our gut that allows us to step outside of our comfort zone and really get out there and promote ourselves, as Carol was saying, in the workplace and home.
And to embrace that ability to be able to encompass a lot of people in the room instead of trying to become a different kind of energy, right? To say, oh, I'm a woman and I'm able to encompass a lot of things. Let me use that as an asset. That's a real strength, real strength.
Yeah, Carol, that's the part to me that is so, I had the pleasure of evaluating TK Ogiri, who's on the call the other night, and even through a video meeting, I was able to say, like, TK, give me more. Like, I could feel it in her. Like, my gut could feel, TK, you have so much more, give me more. And I think when I see women go up there, it's like, tell me from your gut, from your heart, what is going on in your world? Because I do care and I want to hear. Yeah. Carol, let's talk a little bit, let's move that, because I'm like, let's talk a little bit about body gestures even. And so what, and let me also say, this is not a male bashing session at all. In fact, the men that I'd like to invite to come on here, I really want them to help us, like I said, champion us a little bit, to help us also understand the why. Why aren't we seeing more women? So let's just talk a little bit. As I mentioned, when I see the men on stage, it's big, it's bold, it's, and I haven't seen that from women, unless, if I may say, I see something that's very choreographed that doesn't fit their body at all.
Mm-hmm.
So Carol, let's talk a little bit about body gestures. Excited.
I know you love this topic. This is the body connection, right? Well, I think in Toastmasters, right, we all know the manual speech, you know, body language, that's really, really important. I think the area that shows timidness or insecurity the most, if it's the thing, if you want to be seen, it's all about the upper body and making sure that the shoulders are back and the heart is out. That you, before you go on and you do anything, and we did this at the District 46 mini conference, Rochelle, you and I both did this stretch where you are literally stretching out your arms as far as you can. So the whole, that's right. So
come on,
the
everybody.
Area.
Except for Stella, she's driving, excuse me.
She can't do that. It'd be really important for her to keep the hands on the wheel. And yes, to have that strong stance underneath you, but to really open this up. Start stretch, right? Like I'm a star. And you, once this all opens up, emotion, energy, passion starts to come out. It comes through the face, it comes through the eyes. So get this area open, because the opposite of that is a timid, held-in thing. So open up, get it out, roll the shoulders back if you can. Deep breath in, and this is before you enter a contest, before you go into a meeting, before you go into an interview, and again with that long, straight spine. It'll make a huge difference.
Absolutely. I don't know does it come from the fear of having our personality seen? Does it come from a fear that, oh, if I show any level of emotion, I'm not talking about crying, but when we're using our body language and our facial expressions, it shows emotion. So does that mean I'm less than, I'm showing my woman side? And it really should be the other side. It's simply getting across your meaning.
That's
it's
right.
You be you. And that, I mean, you've heard it a million times. They say, forget about the audience, just forget about you, go to the audience. They are the main person that wants to hear you. So part of it, I think, is the fear of being seen. The other part is the lack of their own perception of value that they bring to the table. And maybe because I'm Italian, my body language just sort of flies off the table. I look like I'm, you know, flanning a plane sometimes. It doesn't have to be big all the time.
That's right.
Yes, you use your arms to show direction, to reach out to the audience, to say yesterday. You use stance. If I can get every person on this planet to stand up straight, that is one of my biggest missions, because that says confidence, even if you're not. Mm-hmm. You don't have to throw the chair on the floor. You don't have to get on your knees. You don't have to scream. Your movements don't have to be big. They just need to be purposeful. But like you said, Carol, if we stay small, we have that barrier that we create. No one's going to get the real you. And without the real you coming to the table, who's going to trust what you bring to the table? So I look to encourage those to just be the you at home. When you're yelling at your kids and you're having fun with your gals and you're telling a story, bring that to your meeting. Bring that to the stage. Bring you to the screen.
Yeah. I agree. You know, Lisa, I was thinking one of my favorite speakers in Toastmasters, she happened to belong to my club. The day she walked in, walked to the front of the room and simply stood full, I think she was 6 feet, and just looked out at the crowd without saying a word. And everyone was like, oh, because it was such power in her stance and this whole area was opened up. So presence can be quiet and it can be big. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, those of you that are on the call, first of all, I want to just congratulate you and thank you. I know your time is very valuable. And the fact that you each made the time to be here tonight says that you are a woman who is all-encompassing, has so much to do, but was able to spend the time to take this time for yourself. I truly hope you get some value out of this tonight in terms of speaking the minute we finish up this call. So one of the things I would like to invite those of you on the call is there is a chat box, which I believe you should see on the bottom. There's like a chat circle, you'll see chat if you scroll on the bottom. Here's the question. I'd love if you type it on in. You can type it. My question to each of you is, what do you believe is keeping women from competing in Toastmasters? What do you believe is keeping women from competing? Go ahead and type away.
I love this question. I don't want to say my answer. I want to know from all of you, what is it? Why are you not headed that way?
Yeah. We'll just give it a moment, but if you're comfortable typing in, I know Stella don't because you're driving, girl, but I appreciate it.
I made it, so I can start typing now. I still have to find the type window on the cell phone.
There's some interesting responses coming in, everyone. I hope you can see. Fear of rejection. Yeah. Not enough female role models. Oh, my God. Not feeling like they have something important to say. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Gosh. They have to get asked to help in contests.
Oh. I can't find the chat box, but can I give in my response?
Go right ahead, Stella.
I think that women don't have that confidence that men have. Like you were saying, that they see one item that they qualify for, they will apply. Mm-hmm. I think that men have this amazing, dominant confidence that women don't have for some reason. Maybe we're too critical of ourselves, but men are not. They're almost like, you know, one thing. I mean, we're not qualified on two things on that list of 10. But they have this confidence that I think that we're a little bit bashful.
So, yeah, thank you, Stella. So I don't know if all of you have a chance to just scroll through what some of these answers are. You know, Penelope also brings up a very good point. And I see this quite a bit in Toast. I shouldn't say quite a bit. I see this in Toastmasters. Women often get asked to help in contests and bow gracefully into that role and give up the challenge. How many of you have done that? Just saying. Okay. And the other is this thing about having role models, which I absolutely agree with. And that was why I was so excited to have Carol and Lisa on, who've been up there on the main stage doing this type of thing. And then this fear of actually being seen. Now, I think you all know what that feels like, but I'm going to ask Carol if she could address that fear of actually being seen.
This is very important because as a therapist, I really see that, you know, people say, I want to be seen, but yet when they step forward to be seen, there's a lot of vulnerability and there is a fear of fill in the blank, whatever your particular thing is, being judged, being made fun of, being told you're too much, told you're too little, whatever it is. So there's a great deal of conflict between the desire to be seen and then the fear of being seen. And that's why I think taking the smaller steps, as opposed to thinking, I'm going all the way to the main stage at Toastmasters International to say, I'm going to enter the humorous speech contest, or I'm going to get into table topics contest, or I'm going to try on the club level for the international speech contest or the evaluation. Take the next right action, Or, you know what? I'm going to work on an advanced manual. Let me go from my number 10 speech and choose that next manual. I don't think we have to leap so high. And I have to tell you, I do see this with as men as well. There can be that same conflict inside. So what is the next right step for you? And then find a good mentor, whether it's in the club or outside of the club, to talk your fears through and get a reality check. Because sometimes there's too much chatter up here, and we need someone else to go, you're terrific. Take the next step.
Lisa, what are your thoughts about actually being seen? Because I'd like, I'll speak on this afterwards.
Well, I loved your closing part to that, Carol, especially about this chatter that's going on. And let's face it, women, we chatter. We are chatterboxes. Outside and inside, this does not stop while we sleep. As a matter of fact, this is why we're geniuses most of the time, because all this chatter going on, we have great ideas and we're great solution people. To the point about this fear, I think part of it is our ego and the fear of being maybe humiliated. But haven't we all felt humiliation at some point in our lives? Now, and please don't forgive me. I'm not talking about deep humiliation that causes some mental, real mental anguish where people are being bullied, etc. But in general, haven't you had a bad date where you said, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. What was I thinking? You know he's never going to call you again. Haven't you fouled up at an interview and say, I'm not getting that job. Now, do you never interview again? Do you never go on another date? So humiliation doesn't have to be our demise. If we can get past the ego a little bit and have fun making fun of ourselves, as a matter of fact, take that humorous speech, go out and do a humorous speech about you, making fun of you. I did a stand-up comedy once, all and making fun of me and every man I dated, but half of it was about me and all my idiosyncrasies, I never say that word right, all my hang-ups and little weird things about me that make me not the right fit for most people. But getting past that and say it's okay to be weird in someone's eyes, who cares? It's okay to foul up, to have a bubble come out of your mouth. You know, there's all little things that can happen that makes us sort of feel less than, but it doesn't kill us. We're not going to have a heart attack on stage just because we had gone on stage and got nervous. Part of that fear, I think, is somewhat unrealistic. It feels real. Certainly, we have to tap into it, but the rest of it, we need to put aside and just get up there, laugh about yourself, and walk away and say, okay, I can do this. And all the skills that you're talking about, women doing so many things, isn't that our asset? Yeah. Can a man multitask? You're great at focus. We have the ability to do so many different things well and close the deal. So just tapping into our skill set and really putting aside our ego and allowing us to fail, allowing us to feel silly up there. Once you get past that, it'll never be your first time again. You'll reach to the next level every time you're on stage.
Yeah, perfect. Let me address two other things that came up in the question and the chat box. I so appreciate it. One is this sense of there's a certain style in Toastmasters. And I will say that I am aware of that, but again, I would say the same thing. But again, with keeping this amazing organization at its peak, one of the reasons I wanted to start this program was we may not see a shift. It depends on how much we do in the next 5 months. But imagine 3 years down the road, 5 years down, let's say three, I'm a real optimist. What if 3 years down the road, 75% of the contestants on stage were women?
Woo!
Right?
Fantastic.
I mean, we're starting a movement here, ladies. We're really going to oh my gosh. The thing is, you have to be willing to get up there and be vulnerable, to be seen. And as Lisa said, it's okay. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to say is, we have this that was brought up, perception about women versus men commanding the stage. Okay, and that's why I think there's this thing about being bigger or being more open or being more honest. Was Lisa mentioned, it's a skill set that we have the skill set of being this emotional without being weepy, emotional, powerful, guts, intuitive. I get so excited. Okay, let me focus. You've got this. You can do this. And we can start to make the shift right now as we begin the series today and start to see a shift in what we are seeing as women on the stage at convention. Penelope says, that's why competing is so important, because you can develop a speech over time through all kinds of permutations that fail and succeed and tweak it. and your club continues to support you. Fabulous.
I agree.
Let me just a little bit, because I wanted to just share, because it's all women and I have these two fabulous women on here. Let me just shift slightly. Some of the questions that have come up also have to do with hair, clothes, and makeup. And I've asked both Lisa and Carol if they could sort of share that, because we see the men get on in suits and gosh, they don't need makeup. In the meantime, we're worried about this. We got this. We have so much going on. So I'd like to hear from both Lisa and Carol. Carol, why don't we start with you? Your thoughts about hair, makeup, clothes with regards to the success of a woman on stage.
I was thinking a lot more about this question. I know we've talked about it. And I think about when I was competing, I definitely wore a suit. And I wore a suit because I had a whole bunch of props hidden inside of my suit. So it was a very conscious choice. And I felt comfortable wearing a suit and moving around on stage in a suit. Now, if I were to compete again, where I'm at in my life is I probably would wear a dress because that's who I am today. I would like to wear something that was comfortable, that reflected my personality. And I, Rochelle, you and I talked about this. We hired a makeup artist when we were out there, sight unseen, and it was somebody's view of us painted onto us. And I think, again, this comes with experience, going back to trusting your gut. I would definitely now do my own makeup, have somebody look at it. I would have my femininity and my strength expressed through my own style wherever I was when I decided to compete. I don't think we should adjust ourselves except for, I think, visibility and color on a large stage. That's the thing. There is something about stage presence and being seen from the back of the audience. I think certain colors pop on a dark stage. So it would be important to pay attention to that. Be well-dressed, be neatly dressed, hair off of your face, makeup that makes you feel comfortable, and that your eyes and your mouth and your face can be seen when you're wearing a color that you like and something fitted.
Lisa?
Well, you said it in a nutshell, Carol. The face, the eyes, and your voice, that's what needs to be seen, meaning heard. The rest is ancillary, and it shouldn't take up a lot of your time in considering. Now, it should be purposeful, without a doubt. Speaking of what appears well on stage, we need to consider what's behind us, perhaps. I picked out my suit for both contests, the semi and the finals, hoping I'd get to the finals. And after I picked out my suits, I was then told, ooh, if you get to the finals, you shouldn't wear white because of all the flags in the back. To this day, I still don't know what that means. It wasn't a white background. It was a colorful background. Now, I came out with a white pantsuit. That's going to knock people. So who wears white pantsuit on a stage? The reason I picked it was because, first of all, it fit. Listen, I don't think there are many rules when it comes to fashion, but if I want to name three, it's that it's neat, it's fit well, literally fit well. We're not bulging out, we're not flailing around, that's too big. It's got to fit right through your body. So neat, fit, and it doesn't compete with your voice. So whether you're wearing a dress or a pantsuit, that it's not multicolored, that there's not too much going on where it's competing for your eyes, that you're not wearing lots of dangling jewelry where it's competing with sound or especially your microphone. To your point about, gee, do I wear a skirt or a pantsuit? I don't know. What do you like? If you're a pants person, wear pants. Now, I do recommend a suit. I'm a professional, and I don't mean that you're not. I mean, I'm consummate professional. I'm always wearing suits when I'm out there on the stage. You can wear a blouse and slacks for sure. It really does come down to what's the image that you want to portray. And for my semifinal speech, I didn't move on the stage at all. I was doing my Power of a Smile speech. It was all about my face. So I wore a power red pencil skirt. You can't walk too well in a pencil skirt. Very small movements. But I knew I wasn't moving much. So I allowed myself to choose the skirt. For the finals, I chose pants for me because I knew I was going to walk all across the stage, use that. And I'm more comfortable in pants when I'm taking wide strides and I might be bending down and using lots of body movement. So at the end of the day, pick something that's well-fitted to your body frame, that you like and works with you color-wise, that doesn't compete with your sound and your voice, and just lastly, that's neat. And I say this, and maybe it sounds joking, I did see a speaker in the, I think it was the division finals, phenomenal speech, great delivery. I was laughing. The story was phenomenal. But she wore a blouse that was clearly not ironed, and it was half in and half out. So I'm not sure what was going through her mind. Maybe she had a rough time getting there. I'm sure there could be a lot of reasons, but if that's the case, then bring an extra suit with you, because it really does come down to the appearance. And if women want to make their mark in the world, we are being physically seen. So pick the suit that you like, that works for you, and then forget about it.
I have to say this, and Lisa knows this. I saw her compete in the finals, and I will never forget that white suit. She came out in this phenomenal white suit. It was really well fitted. And now we're talking 6 years later, and I still remember that suit because you embodied it. I could tell that Lisa loved wearing that suit. I could tell you really did. You were comfortable. So I think, again, your comfort and confidence will be matched by the clothes that you wear, and that's really important.
That comfort level helps me stand up straight. So when I walked out that onto that stage, I don't have my arms at my shoulders back like I'm in the military, but I had my gut sucked in. By the way, Tommy Tucker exercise, that gut in. And when you have that in, you wind up putting your chest on your spine. You stand up tall. Mm-hmm. There's no one that's going to deny you respect when you are standing up tall. So give it a shot.
Oh, my favorite topic. We'll have to put that one on for like a high. Here's how we stand. There was something. Oh, I'm going to speak about the clothing just a little bit. And Penelope, correct me if I'm wrong on this one. To the best of my knowledge, women were allowed into Toastmasters. Women started being able to attend meetings in the 70s. Penelope, do I have that correct?
It took 50 years. So that sounds about right.
Okay. So 50 years for women.
We've come a long way, baby.
But we're still kind of getting in there. And I will just want to briefly comment about the clothing. I personally love to wear a dress. I'm a dancer and I love high heels. In the Toastmasters world, I would still wear hose and or stockings, whatever you want to call them. And someone like Karen may not even know what I'm talking about. She probably never had nylons. I don't know. But my feeling is this. If I have to fall in line just a little bit in order to sort of fit a little bit, I mean, I'm one that can still hold my own, I feel, with no matter what I wear. I'm willing to do that. If I had to go to an event and they said it's sequins, I'm going to wear my sequins. And if I'm going to go and wear, so it's partly your gut, but I would also ask you that we also look a little bit at the culture. We can respect our tradition. And again, as we slowly start to move the needle a little bit so that eventually it is at least 75% of us on stage competing where we can be in whatever we want to wear. So we have...
With a little conformity, when you go to work, you're expected to wear certain types of clothes, and some businesses want, you can wear tattoos, you can have your bust showing out, but when you're in a professional setting, that's not what takes place there. So wearing jeans and flip-flops, it's not going to fly. It doesn't mean you can't be you, but be you in a style, in a fashion sense, that's okay for the setting. It's not relinquishing your power, it's not, hey, and I've done interview coaching with lots of women, especially of culture, and they have an attitude about, I want to wear X, Y, Z, and well, go ahead. You can go do that, but you're going to compete with others that are wearing the professional attire. So if you've got a big flower here and you want to have all your culture hanging all out, it's a beautiful thing, but on stage, I want to hear your voice. So that little bit of conformity is not putting your person, it's not putting you down, it's not putting you aside, it's just saying, you know what, I want you to come out in a different way. So that's why we have to focus on your voice. So get out there and speak.
I want to mention something, Rashawn. This maybe is a little bit of a secret about the contest, but it is a competition. And I actually discovered that I liked competing. And I know it's about a learning experience, but I think there is something to acknowledge that it's okay to be ambitious. There was something about going up the ladder towards the contest that I was like, wow, I really like this. This is a skill set. So if I need to adjust myself to the competition without compromising myself so I can compete, I was very willing to do that. When I say adjust myself, meaning if I felt that, oh, what has worked in the past is a bright color, if I felt like I was in a competitive state of mind, I'd be like, I'm wearing a bright color. I think it's okay for those of us who go into contests to admit that competing can be exciting and empowering.
Yeah.
Up to that point, Carol, I went, Rochelle, I'm sorry, when I was in the semifinals and found out oddly how I won because they call the third place winner first, meaning they called my name first as if I was a third place winner. And then they looked up in the stage and they're holding back the award. And I thought, is that not mine? And they're like, no. All right. So I walk off the stage, power of a smile, and everyone's laughing. And then I realized, oh, they reversed the numbers. I had won first. So that was a very unique, you know, you're down for a second, but hey, I'm in a competition. It's okay to lose. And yet I won. Then the next day I'm in a room with nine of us for the finals, eight men and just me. And I looked around that table and I said, this is going to be fun. And maybe because I grew up with three brothers and I worked in the Wall Street area, I said, no problem. I'm ready for this. It elevated me to do my best. And what I thought was really funny, most of the men in that room all of a sudden got very quiet. As if they didn't want to share their secret to the success for that stage. Meanwhile, I'm like, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Because it's not going to affect whether I do good or not. I'm still going to do me. And, you know, it's not going to change. So I thought it was really, I'm all relaxed. Not to say I wasn't nervous, ladies. People think us speakers don't get nervous. That is farthest from the truth. But I wasn't nervous about competing against men. To me, it elevated me even more. So I would love to see more women on the stage because that is going to make men realize they have to step up their game.
Yeah.
Real. Game on then. Game on. I do want to comment, there have been some cases, I'm getting some private email from private messaging where women have actually at different times been suggested about the dresses. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying that we're completely sexist about that at all, but there still seems to be that slight culture on that. That doesn't mean you can't wear a white pantsuit like Lisa Panarello or the suit that Carol had on, but just work with what's best for you and understand the culture. I think we've covered it well. Carol, Lisa, if we were to like trim this all down, what is one specific point or skill as women we need to do to get, I know we talked about going step by step, we have to start at a club and go for here, but what do you see, very as specific as you can, one skill or one point that we as women need to do to get to the main stage? Carol?
I think it is to, besides the step-by-step, to start considering yourself, one, a competitor, and secondly, start considering yourself a leader. I think there's a leadership track in Toastmasters, and I think besides the speaking, if you start to say, how can I be a leader? And then, how would a leader walk? How would a leader talk? How would a leader conduct a meeting? And not just take on the roles about running the meeting, but think about what it would be like to stand in front of the room and be a leader, to be the international president, to be the president of your club. So I think there's something about mindset. My last words are, physicality informs mentality. So, right? If you simply start practicing and you never opened your mouth for a month, but you simply started practicing walking tall, standing tall, sitting in a chair upright, making great eye contact, it's going to affect your mental state. And you're going to see that people respond to you differently and you're going to feel different on the inside. And that's really exciting.
Oh, fabulous. Thanks. Lisa?
I have to say, I have nothing else for that, Carol. That is it. You know, you said the word there, if I would take away from what you said, is the leadership. And we have to find the leader in ourselves. I believe that we can't be leaders of others until we lead ourselves. That means we have to take initiative. We have to take risks, get out there in the world. But to piggyback on what you're saying about the two pieces of physicality, that maybe if you can walk away and try this, just two, I don't know, techniques to practice in your own world. And I don't just mean at Toastmasters stage. I don't mean just at the boardroom. I mean every day. When you're out shopping and you've got your hands on that cart, that you hold your gut in, I don't care if you're in sweats, and you stand tall and you have a little smile on your face. If any of you have seen my Power of Smile message, if not, email me. I'll email it to you. You can go watch it on YouTube. You can watch it at one of the Toastmasters. You know, that was my semifinal speech. This little bit of a smile, I don't know if you can see it now without my glasses. Now, not this. That's the crazy look. And not this. This is what I look like when I'm driving. When I'm on the computer. This is not friendly. This is not attractive. You know what people do with this face? They run away. I look sad. I either look like someone going to say, bring it on, or send in the clowns. Okay, this is what this face says. You had a little bit of smile when you're shopping, when you're at the store, when you're at the nail salon. This little smile will get responses from people from you. You will actually feel their respect. They're more likely to say, hi, how are you today? And when you walk tall, I'm telling you, I can be in my sweats. People will follow me for a mile. I'm in the supermarket or in Bed Bath, wherever. Hey, do you know where such and such is? They think I work there because I stand tall. You want to gain confidence? You want to be seen as confident? Practice holding in your stomach, your abdomen muscle. It's a muscle. You can talk when you hold it in. That'll make you stand tall. And you add a little bit of a smile to you. I can see you smiling, right? That puts out a whole aura of confidence for you, and you'll see the response that you get, and maybe, just maybe, that building inside of internal confidence will get you to get up on the stage.
Wow. Yes. I would love to add, to kind of bridge you both together, that confidence piece. I know this is you, Carol, as well, and what Lisa just said. I think we need to practice the confidence, as Lisa said, but feel it. And if we can't feel it, try to find from other women, how do I look confident? Am I feeling confident? Just so that you get a sense, or is the right word, Carol, mirror back?
Mm-hmm.
So that someone asks, yeah. Ask another woman, do I look confident? Because I don't know what that feels like yet. You really, really want to feel that. So confidence. And the other thing that I think to get us to the main stage is to be the woman you are. You have something incredibly powerful to share with the world. I don't know what it is yet, but each of you in your heart have something incredibly powerful to share with the world. If we start to share from our hearts, I believe this is what's going to get us forward. I don't think it's going to be about throwing chairs and being all huge and all. I really believe that that piece from your heart is pure and authentic with a strong, tall posture, like you know exactly what you're talking about, is what's going to get you to the main stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say dogs sense fear when you have a certain body temperature, a certain read. People sense our fear. So if we look like this, they think we're scared. If we walk like this, we look unconfident.
Right.
If you just stand tall and smile a little bit, internalize that. Look in the mirror. Record yourself. It's humbling. I've done it. I've got the crazy eyebrow. I've got the man voice. I've got the bad hair days. Putting that aside, listen and look at your body language. I think you'll really internalize that. I've watched some of you make crack a smile, and boy, what a difference on our faces when we do that. Men will respond. Audiences will respond. And I think you'll respond to yourself.
And I think that having those interactions, I always say practice in low risk situations. So you're right, at the shopping mall, when you're ordering your coffee, you want to practice being confident, look that barista in the eye, order your coffee, smile, practice where it's not a stressful thing, and then notice how you feel. Going back to your point, Rochelle, notice how you feel. Notice how, as Lisa mentioned, when you're standing tall and you order lunch and you wait for it and you're standing tall, just how that feels. So you don't have to throw yourself into the fire. You can start out with some little embers first and practice it in that way, and you'll really feel a difference.
And at work, sit up straight at the computer, and especially in a meeting. This in our chair says, I'm not engaged. I have no value in this meeting. I have nothing to add. Sitting up with your pen right here, even if you don't say a word, says you're ready if they were to call on you.
Mm-hmm. At this time, what I'd like to do is I'm going to unmute everyone. I'll call on you if you don't mind. You either can comment with a question or closing thoughts. If you have nothing that you want to say, just say pass, and we'll move. I'll call out the next. So I'm going to unmute everyone.
One thing, right?
And Penelope, I'll start with you if you don't mind, because I know you're familiar with this. Any last questions or closing thoughts?
No, I found this incredibly inspiring and helpful. And the club, as Carol said, is, in addition to the grocery store, a club is also a low-risk environment in most cases.
Right.
Take advantage of it.
Fantastic. Thank you. Kim Osorio, can you hear me? Would you like to comment or ask a last question? Hello, Kim? Okay, we'll go on to Elaine. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I'd just like to thank all three of you
for. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for putting this together and sharing the thoughts that you had. There's so much information that I got and so many things that I want to do. First of all, number one, suck my gut in and stand tall. So thank you so much.
Super. Thank you. Anna Banks?
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. I totally agree with the two guest speakers. And I saw Lisa. Let me see. I think it was when she was with 83.
Excuse
me. First time that I saw her.
Excuse me, Adam. Sorry. I'm just hearing some reverb of a background noise. Can someone mute there?
Yeah, I unmuted everyone, so maybe I should. Can you handle it for a little bit? Can we handle it for a little bit? Okay. Go ahead, Anna. Sorry.
Okay, so I saw Lisa when she competed, and I forget what year it was, but she went on to international from 83. And so I've been a big fan of hers, and I saw that white suit. That's,
yeah.
But
that's what I was really most excited about. After I won the semifinals, I said to my friend Lila, I get to wear the white suit.
But again, you know, thank you so much. I'm one of those people that don't like being seen, at least not on a big stage like that. I don't mind in a teaching role, but when it's what I call keynoting, I don't feel very comfortable with that. But you can put me in a teaching environment, I am in my element and I love it.
Well, thanks for joining us, Anna. I do appreciate it. Lenovo, am I saying that correctly?
Hi, can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's Bibi. Lenovo is my computer.
Okay. Hi, Bibi.
So, hey, I am so inspired, you guys. And I am going out there and sticking my stomach in and making eye contact.
Yes.
From this day on.
Yes.
And Lisa, the first time I saw you in Palm Desert, you rock that white suit, girl.
Thank you.
You wore the suit. It did not wear you, and it made you look taller. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bibi. Stella?
Well, this white suit has formed curiosity. Is there a YouTube clipping or something?
Yeah, there is actually. Elisa Panarella and Toastmasters. I think my clip of My Mission Impossible is on there. That's my word. Thank you. Tahari, by the way.
I'll have to check it out. But confidence, you know, I'm a professional musician. Also, I'm in the military. So we have no choice but to stand up at attention. So maybe, you know, to as another perspective for listeners, if this is a question, looking at how a musician performs and how a military soldier stands, maybe that's another perspective. But I never really had an issue with that because it was kind of required of me.
Yeah. That's a great point, yeah. Stella. Thank you very much. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
You elude confidence, by the way. I'm just looking at you, I think. Strange, I'm not messing with her. So I think, wow, soft strength.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm.
Let's see. Kadisha, would you like to comment? Okay, maybe not. Karen?
Oh, this was great. Thank you so much for hosting this. I'm curious what's in store for future sessions.
Great, hold that thought and I'll get through and then I'll come back and definitely let you know. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. TK?
Fantastic. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to join you all. And Lisa, I saw you as well as Rochelle in Palm Desert, very, very hot, sticky Palm Desert. I really liked the comment where you said that we're just talking in our heads so much and it doesn't stop. And we've got to be our own fans and not our own critics. We've got enough of those, and it takes more courage to be a fan. And Rochelle, you know, she evaluated me this past week. I'd stepped into a side conference room. I'm a TEDx speaker coach. And, you know, there was a glass window, and I thought, okay, I shouldn't have worried about what I looked like to the side to these people, and it wasn't the best structure of the video, but I should have just said, you know what, I'm here, I need to own it and just make it happen. So I learned a lot tonight, and thank you so much. It's 7 o'clock for me here in New Mexico, and it's been a back-to-back conference call, so thank you for letting me be black screen today, and I will show up in the future ones.
Thank you so much, TK. So let me say, there's three quick quotes I just want to pull up for you for a second that we just, physicality informs mentality. That was from Carol. You can't be leaders of the world until we lead ourselves. That was Lisa. And from TK, which I think really is the cherry on top of the whipped cream of that beautiful dessert, it takes more courage to be a fan. So as I bring this to a close tonight, I want to thank you, Karen, for asking. Next month, I don't quite have all the dates locked in because of the speaker's scheduling, but we're going to have Mark Brown come on and really give it to us from a man's perspective. We also have Darren LaCroix and Kathy Armias, who also will be working together on the Zoom calls. And then depending on where we are and what we need, the last two calls will be based on the information that I've gathered from you or where we think the holes still are. Let me just invite you that if you want to find out more about Carol, please feel free to visit her website at carolward.com. And when you join her mailing list, you'll receive a 5-minute stress reduction for free audio track set to original music. That's Carol with a K, carolward.com. And Lisa's website is careersadvance.org. Let me say that again, careersadvance.org. Please feel free to reach out. Lisa's very active on LinkedIn as well, and be sure to check out her beautiful white suit video clip. This video recording will be available on District 46 website. And Penelope Bohm, I want to thank you. Penelope is on my guidance committee for this high performance leadership project. So I am so excited that all of you, Bibi, thank you for being here as a past district governor. I really appreciate it. To all of you from New Mexico to upstate New York to Jersey to here in Manhattan, from my heart, thank you so much. Let's speak up and raise the voices of women. I'm Rochelle Rice. Have a fabulous night. Thanks,
good night. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you so much. See you soon.
Thanks, all.